We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello,
gentlemen.
It's good to be back.
Good to be back.
Tuesday, April 16th. Happy hump of the month.
It is. It is, isn't it?
Yes.
What, 15 more days?
Yeah.
Wait, do we have a 31st or a 30th?
30 days this month.
Yeah. Wow. Then it's May and... Oh my God, December's here. Oh man.
You can feel it.
Dude, it's so hot here in Texas. Like it's already humid. But how was everyone's weekend?
Too short.
My weekend was Yes. It was too short, but great, but too short. Not the rapper, but just too short the weekend.
Oh God. Is that a bait joke?
Yes, it is.
You got me good there. Didn't catch that. Mm-hmm. That was too late.
Nice. Yeah, I was in Austin. I saw our lovely friend Caitlin Cole, who is the CEO of Resonate Studios. She developed this beautiful graphic or logo for us. So just want to plug her in real quick, you know, since we're officially live now. So shout outs to Caitlin.
Thank you, Caitlin.
We had a blast down there too. But yeah, now I'm like, you know, I took a week off and now I'm like getting back in the swing of things. So yeah. How about you, gentlemen? How's your week so far?
You beat me to the punch because I'm not sure I even got back in the swing yet.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's going well. So just busy as usual, but yeah, week's going fine.
Yeah, okay. And Richard, you'll be MIA for the next 2 weeks, right?
Yes, we will release our historic archive while we are out, but you will love it all the same.
All right. Well, fellas, let's get into business. Let's dive right in for this topic. I think we want to talk about masculinity and what does that term specifically mean from our own perspective. And, you know, I will hand it off to David, where, you know, he is the content curator of Redacted. So, David, please take it away, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, this is something that is kind of been being somewhat talked about for many years now. There's a question of what is masculinity today? What does it mean in the modern world, right? What does it mean, you know, not just in the 21st century, but just like right now? Because we have a rapidly changing society and our sort of ideas and concepts of masculinity as it existed in the 20th century, right? Has been radically shifting over time. And I really wanted to just generate a discussion with you guys today about, I mean, how do you, especially as men of color, how do you view masculinity today? And what do you think are some of the challenges for men today in society? So go ahead, Richard, you can start it out.
Richard?
Yeah, yes, you.
Oh, that's me. Okay. Well, before I begin, I have a quick question. Because, you know, yesterday I had a flat tire driving down the road and, you know, I jokingly said, you know, I'm a man because I know how to change a tire. Does that define masculinity?
Yeah, you got a ton.
Had it done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess if we're kicking off with me, for me, I think, you know, just to address like the surface level stuff, you know, like what defines a man, you know, he should be like a provider or, you know, someone who like can take care of the bills, you know, or someone who to provide like that overall protection within the household, you know, we can go in so many different directions with this, but I think if we want to like start pinpointing on what defines being masculine in today's society, you know, I believe it's just honestly it keeping up with the times. And what I mean by that is like there are a lot of components that can define what exactly being a man is, but conversely so for what it is, you know, for what it is for like what it is like to be for a woman. You know, there are a lot of like similarities because, you know, a woman also shout outs to all like, you know, the single mothers out there that are like stepping up as like father figures, you know, throughout the country or throughout the world. But I, you know, I'll just leave it there, you know, just like, you know, just very on the surface level, David.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you said that, and I'm going to push this question out there as we start to talk, and either of you can answer this, but some of the things you said initially, my first thought was, but that seems so old school, like provided protection, producers, seems like an old school idea of masculinity. That doesn't seem to necessarily fit in with the modern conception of the world because women have their own jobs, they can take care of themselves. They need you to necessarily, you know, provide that kind of finances, you know, the money thing. That's obviously there aren't women out there who don't like that, right? But is that necessarily an idea of what masculinity is, you know, is today? Technology is handling so much of our stuff, right? For us, right? You know, is that necessarily depending on if you're working class, that may be different than if you're, you know, a sort of white collar person. So yeah, I guess that brings up a little bit of a question, like, how are you comparing any of us, like the concept of masculinity of the 20th century versus the concept of masculinity in the 21st century? Like, how are you differentiating between those two?
I'd like to say my wife makes more money than me. People just think we're like, she's a stay-at-home wife, and so everybody just thinks like, oh, she's free all day and doesn't make any money. I say, that's BS, man. She makes, if I had to market out, farm out, outsource all of her contributions and in all phases, I cannot stop naming them, but you know, it would be probably almost twice my income. It just cannot be vendored out. We do not have that much money to replace that contribution. And so my idea of masculinity is typically that when there's a gap in leadership in the intimate couple, that the male defaults to providing that leadership. It does not mean that I am always default leader, but because she's just better at many other things and I'm not, and she will happily take the lead and that's okay. And when she's not sure, then I will assume the role. And that's easy flux of division of labor between us. That keeps that's an easy part of the marriage for us, at least division of labor. That's my innocent description.
You know, Richard, you brought up a great point, right? Because I didn't even mention like, you know, like, well, I did mention like partially about like finances and how they like should provide. But, you know, that is like I said, it's like keeping up with the times because, you know, nowadays, like there are a lot of like women who are very successful and flourishing.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And their careers today. And so that kind of like equates to like, hey, you know, I can take care of certain things within the household. But, you know, I just want to pivot slightly back because I was thinking, you know, for this topic, like, I have to admit, like, I'm a huge proponent of TaskRabbit. For instance, like, I had to set up or mount a TV, I think like a couple months ago. And at the time, I was incredibly busy. Like, I just did not have the time and I didn't feel like using the little brain power that I had left to make sure everything was in alignment on the wall and things like that. So I kind of like outsource it to TaskRabbit, right? I mean, does it help that I paid? Maybe, I don't know, but you know, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because like technology, it does play like a pivotal role, you know, in today's society. And like, you know, if you take that away from like the ideal topics of what defines a man, you know, such as like, say if you're moving out, you know, now there are apps for that, or say you have to pick up your significant other from, you know, a place, but now there's Uber for that. You know, I'm just thinking of like, kind of like old school-ish examples that, you know, that will help like define what a man is, especially when it comes to like providing that leadership role. But I mean, David, what do you think?
Yeah, so I find it a little easier for me to grapple with because I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, right, where lots of things are being challenged before the rest of society, right, is challenging those, you know, the ideas, right? And yeah, I guess to me, there's a part of what I take with Richard where he says it's a division of labor, right? In that regard, so there's a division of labor between, you know, you and your partner in the relationship. So the way he divides labor, we do some division of labor, the same thing in, you know, in our household. But yeah, I think some of the ideas and concepts that we have of masculinity, I think it shifts depending on what neighborhood you're in, right? You know, there's certain kind of like, look, if you grew up in a nice suburban area, right? Concept of masculinity is going to be slightly different if you grew up in more of a working class area, right? You know, or even a rougher area, right? Because you might literally need to be a little bit more of a protector in that case because of the particular kind of dangers that can be immediately out there for people, and particularly women on the street, right? Or children on the street. Mm-hmm. You might have to take on a little bit more of a quote unquote traditional masculine protector role in that regard. Whereas if you are living in communities that are relatively safe, right, in terms of, you know, you don't have to relatively worry about certain things when you step out the door, there's a little bit more room for that shift in concept. And then the other thing, this is why I say San Francisco Bay Area, you know, like San Francisco Bay Area has a large LGBTQIA+ population, right? And so that definitely brings in for everybody, right, some kind of variances, right, on how masculinity is being presented within that community, and if there's anything we can learn from that, you know, to take outside of that into heterosexual, you know, relationships and those things. So I think all those things to me kind of challenge it. So I often always say that masculinity may be just a little bit more defined by maybe it's getting to be a little bit more individual. Maybe there's some constant things that are there, but I think it's becoming a little bit more individualized. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I definitely was just thinking about code switching. Like if I'm in my hometown with some of my childhood friends who are very stereotypically masculine, I code switch, right? I help them heap mulch and manure. I help them get a tree down, help them drag the logs. Like I have to do none of that in Brooklyn. So whatever the situation takes, if I'm with friends in other cities, yeah, whatever their concept is, I'm not too bothered or set on it. It's like everybody has their thing, and that's cool.
Yeah, and I think to David's point, like it is starting to become very situational, depending on your current conditions, on how you're living nowadays, right? Or whether you're like a single guy, and or if you're in a relationship / married. It can be very, very individualized nowadays, because now I think the term is like, it can have other sub meanings, you know, behind it. You know, for instance, say if like, you know, if you're not making as much as the woman, but however, as long as you provide, we can all agree here, right? Like as long as you provide that leadership, right, within the household and within that division of labor, or within division of anything, I think, and then as long as the end goal and is the agreed upon goal is to have a prosperous and happy home, right? But then again, we keep circling back, like, How can a man, you know, provide value in a household, you know, if he's not equipped with like certain elements, I guess like old school elements now, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you fellas think?
Well, being the man in that case means you got to fess up. You got to be like, I don't know how to do this, and I'm going to either find out or outsource it and or communicate that I don't know. That's the embarrassment and shame. That's, I think you got to bear it. I mean, it's worse shame if you don't say anything. That as you know, from any personal or work thing, if you don't communicate, it's even worse.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, online, particularly YouTube, is one of the great spaces where you've seen this ongoing debate, right? You know, with, let's say now it started with millennials, now it's going into Gen Z, right? Right. You know, the debates over men versus women, roles, and old school versus new school, you know, and this whole thing. And so I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but, you know, some things that we know is that fewer men are going to college, right, to get a degree, right?
Really?
More women are attending college and getting not only undergraduate degrees, but they're getting advanced degrees, right? You know, at a greater pace, right? And a single woman without any children now has the ability to go further in her career than a man, right? She has the ability to go much further, right? You know, in that regard, right? So she can start moving herself way up the ladder, right? Now, obviously, things may change if she gets in a relationship or, you know, gets married, whatever they want to call the relationship, and starts having children. Then there's some complications that can come in because the professional system is not always entirely set up to accommodate even men with children, right? You know, if you want to take time off, it's not necessarily set up in that, but they're advancing beyond that. And what it appears to be is that there are a lot of men who are kind of being, I don't know if you want to say left behind. And this is because we made wonderful, necessary advancements for women, right? We needed to change society to make sure that it was more equitable. One time I'll use the term equitable for women, right? And to give them much more opportunity. But at that same time, you're seeing a lot of males just kind of, you know, falling backward. And so my question for you guys, have you noticed it? And if so, why do you think there are a lot of young men who are falling backward?
Well, I can take a stab at that. I have noticed where ideally where the men are typically like the breadwinners, you know, in the household. And now, and I'm not even like referring to you, Richard, like you're a man's man. So, but anyway, I'm thinking about like, you know, within like my social circles, like how I've noticed that the women in the relationship are typically the breadwinners nowadays, and it's interesting, and again, nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that, but you know, we're talking about like societal norms. There is a shift between like man and woman now, but yeah, it's, yeah. Richard, what do you think?
You know, I love this topic because we're not discussing, or we're not really encouraging men each other. We're doing this weird dance around.
We are.
I speak with my guy friends too infrequently, and I am very actually. I just had my very best buddy, shout out to him. He said, "Richard, I love this podcast. I miss our chats," and I have had the very hard time encouraging each other. It's just not a good communication rate or communication style. And he's one of my very best guy buddies, and so I find it very frustrating. We can't share that, like, hey man, you did a great job. It's just kind of like this awkward dance around when we do well, and he's in a similar position as me in like families. So it's just, I don't know, what the dude's got to be talked to and encouraged and let him know, like, if you're not doing well, just gotta check in on the guys. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I have to say,
go ahead David.
No, I have to say, yeah, that is something I've also noticed as well, right? Like sometimes, you know, there are men that have a hard time accepting compliments, but there's also, there's not as much check-in, generally speaking, you know, among men about how each other is doing. Right? I think this is something that is more common among women,
yeah.
Right? Where they check in with each other. And I do think that that is something that needs to be, something that needs to become more common among men. But also, I also think that, like, waiting, trying, particularly for young men, trying to wade through society, right, in the, you know, at this moment, I think for some of them that they're struggling, right? You hear all the stories about, and these will be some wonderful future topics to come in detail. You hear the stories about dating apps, right? You hear the stories about, you know, people finding it hard to find it, you know, to find their place in life, right? And it does draw some concern that if so many people, right, particularly, and I'm just focused on the men here, so many of them are living their lives, like, right, and young men particularly, online, right, in an online, you know, universe, yeah. right.
Mm.
How does that translate into understanding, you know, a concept of masculinity in the real world as opposed to what you see online or what is presented into you? So that's something that concerns me. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Nowadays I can consider myself like one of those guys who kind of like live their lives online, you know, via Clubhouse or what have you, or like hanging out with you gentlemen, you know, on the app or whatever. But at the same time, I am working, I am doing like other things, I am golfing. But that's by, you know, that's by choice, because, you know, I am, again, you know, like we're all, the three of us here, like well off in our careers right now. And I think we just like our time is very limited. And so we're thinking about like checking up on each other, like as if we're in college, it's not going to be the same. And so whatever platform or whatever avenue that, you know, you keep in touch with your friends with, I think it's time for us to like start as men, start socializing, like, hey, it's okay to give out compliments, or it's okay to accept compliments from each other. I think we should embrace each other more. And that has, I see there's an upward trend for that as well. I mean, I can only speak from like my own personal experience, you know, with my own fraternity brothers, like, you know, we kind of like chat almost every day. And like whoever is launching like a podcast or launching a new business venture, like I specifically would encourage, congratulate them, and others will follow suit. You know, just little acts of kindness will like certainly go a long way. And there's another one, you know, I think I shared this video with you both where it was like a mental health video, and it was like two guys at a soccer game. And I think it's like, it was like a suicide prevention video or what have you. And for context for the listeners, it was two guys at a soccer game. One is very happy, outgoing. The other one just like, it's like he's been sitting in the rain all day, right? And throughout the video, you know, the guy who seems happier, you know, he's casually getting, you know, happier. But then towards the end of the video, he's not at the soccer game anymore. And it's the guy that looked miserable that is, you know, that's still alive. So that's the implied mental health awareness that they're trying to, you know, imply. So it's like the ones who kind of like seem like the most happiest, I think it's okay to check up on that guy, you know, here and there. And for anyone in general, too.
It's a devastating ad.
Go ahead, Richard.
I remember this last year as a headline I flew past everyone. It was the Surgeon General said there was an epidemic of loneliness. I probably got a few giggles because we're all kind of sick of the word epidemic. But I do think that is a giant health problem because it has a huge set of downwind consequences beyond the immediate, oh, I feel crappy. But then your physical health, and then your mental health, and then your social health, and then it kind of wheels around to the people around you, and then it just goes, you know, vicious consequences. You were saying, David?
Yeah. You know, I do remember that as terms of a that study about an academic of loneliness happening, you know, in the United States of America, in America, in that regard. And I thought, yeah, I can see that. You know, there are, you know, a lot of, you know, I can see that there are a lot of reasons, you know, for the sort of existence of that loneliness. And part of that is what I mean by, so when I say like online, I mean like people are either just, you know, they're on X, they're on YouTube all the time, like, right? You know, they're in Reddit forums, yeah. Discord, you know, Facebook groups, if you want to add that in there. They're just in all these spaces. And so people in particular, in this case with a lot of men, they built up an online community full of people that they mostly don't really know, right? They kind of know them in the sense they know them in this space, but that is kind of and obviously the metaverse is hoping to also replace, you know, in-person, you know, get-togethers, right? With its own thing, you know, but you get what I mean. But it's like their friendships now exist, you know, as an adult, right, in this sort of technological space, but doesn't really exist, you know, in a real human form. And I always wonder, like, you know, how it, you know, what are the long-term negative impacts of that kind of friendship without having, like, the physical friendships of people that you're with? Because, look, you know, my best friend, you know, from when I was in undergrad, we get together, like, once a month and go on walks or jog, right? You know, and then have conversations, right? And we share information or stuff, of, you know, that we would share as a very close people about our relationships or about what's going on in our lives and asking for feedback and those kind of things. And I was like, I would hate for that sort of thing to solely be something that was done through, like, you know, a Reddit forum, right? Or through a Discord group. Mm-hmm. I would need, mm-hmm. I need that physical thing. And I feel like men, at least a lot of men, still need that kind of physical friendship and physical connection with another male, right? To be able to, you know, bounce things off of each other. And it needs to be more than just, you know, via typing, right? Or that sort of thing. You need to have that person that you can regularly get together with and have these deep discussions. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, in response to that, that's why I think it's important that there are, like, kind of like planned trips, you know, although, like, I don't see my Lion Brothers, like, probably like once or twice a year. But at least we have something in the future plan. And same thing for, like, other close male friends, right? Or your other close guy friends as well. In addition to that, there is a lot, also, like, a sort of, like, unwritten social contract once you're, like, developing online friendships where you, like, you know, you guys both knows each other's, like, terms and conditions, where, because, you know, you got, we're like David, you're on the West Coast, I'm in Texas, Richard, you're on the East Coast, and it's like you know, we know our geographical proximity towards each other, we're far away, but in the event, in case we ever need something, best believe I can rely on you both, right? Like, if I needed something, like, you can help me remotely, right? So that also works, right? And it's not, the disregarding, like, what you said about that in-person human interaction, because we all, that is much needed. But that's why also it's also healthy to, like, plan out trips, like a guy's trip, you know?
That is important. And guy's time is whatever helps the guys. I don't really... Well, I love beer, so I will happily drink beer forever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't have to do that. It's just whatever the guys. Yeah, it is so hard to share. Frankly, I'm actually thinking about some of my younger days and younger time guy friends, which had to, my guy friends mix has changed significantly over many years. I'm in my 40s now, so I've had probably four giant phases of friends, like a high school bunch, the college, the after college, and now the married stuff. And every era required a new framework of masculinity. I'm not very terribly proud of the college era, to be honest, but a story for another day.
Yeah, we need an episode on that. I'm dying to hear that, but go ahead.
It is healthy to change, going back to what you said.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things we learn as we get older is that, you know, we... in some ways, your friend circle gets smaller, right? It doesn't get bigger, right?
Absolutely. Like,
you know what I mean? It's like when you're in high school, middle school, high school, and then you're an undergrad, it's you've got this large circle of people. You've got, like, you know, this person here, they're everywhere. But then as you advance on, you know, those people get smaller because they move to other places. they get in relationships or they start families or they've got things going on in their life and you got things going on in your life. And so then that circle changes, right? And so I think with what I'm sure, Richard, for you, you know, your circle changed once you got married, and then your circle changed once you had kids, right?
So oh gosh, it's a whole new circle.
It's very trying because I don't know. Does everyone have FOMO, or is it just me?
I have FOMO every day.
I think a lot about friends I've passed and not kept up with, hundreds, and actually I have a list in my Google contacts of how I tiered them. There's this thing called XFN, the Friends Network. I don't know if it's still around. You can look it up. It's like a micro format for friends. It's very tiered. Oh, it is on Wikipedia. It has its own article, XHTML Friends Network. So I used that for a long time to tier and sort. And so I have a kind of a formal thing in my head, which might be too rigid for most human beings, but did help me to kind of clarify to my wife how I view friends, which was very, very challenging as we went through so much change. Oh gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I can say it for like myself. Like, for instance, I think like about 5 years ago, I had like 50 people attending my birthday, and my most recent birthday had about like 8 to 10 people. But you know, then again, what do we always say? Like, quality over quantity, you know? And I think friendship will always survive, regardless if you ever get married or move away or what have you. Like, I think friendship should be idealized. Like we're just only a phone call away, you know, and then kind of things like that, right? But yeah, I mean, the older you get, it is harder to like make other like guy friends, because you know, one, I mean, let's be honest here. I don't think we all have that same social aptitude that we once had, right? Like, as if we were in college, like I certainly don't. Yeah. And that's saying a lot of, even about me. I used to be like the most outgoing person, but now, man, like I am A-okay, like staying in. But you know, I'm just thinking about this. Overarching topic here, right? As a, like, you know, how do men kind of like express their emotions, even if they don't have that, you know, human to human connection in person, right? Like, it's just always one of those like evolving questions where, you know, I guess we gotta keep up with the times, like I mentioned very early on, like keeping up with the times, but also kind of like showing, you know, grace and also acts of kindness as well, leadership, protection, and you know, that protecting is also, I think, in my opinion, like a key piece. But I say all that to say, right, like, and you gentlemen both know there's always been this popular topical debate, whereas like who should pay on the first date, right? You know, but I think we have to address that now, you know. For me, and you know, we can go around the horn here, but for me, I think if I'm a man and I want to pursue this woman, I'm not gonna allow her to like pay the first bill or pay the first 2-3 dates or what have you, right? If I'm really trying to court her, you know, you kind of have to like put your best foot forward, like a job interview, you know. Because it's still a thing, in my opinion, and this is my opinion. I know there are others can like debate to the end on this topic, but like for me personally, I feel like, as if we're talking about masculinity here, I think the man should pay if that man is trying to court that woman. I mean, fellas, thoughts?
I have long said money is a signal of values, and that rings darn true here. If you can't do the simple gesture of whatever, 20 to 120 bucks, then are you really going to give her a life, a good vision of purpose and future? Are you going to give her your authentic self, confessions of your shame, your successes, your encouragement of her? Are you going to give her all of that if you can't cough up like the first thinking meal that you're going to eat anyways? That's my take.
Yeah, I do. I obviously I would agree. Yeah, let me steel man this for a second. So the steel man, another person might say, let me try to give their best argument. They might say, and this might even come from a woman, you know, it's a modern world. Who cares about that kind of stuff anymore, right? This is all outdated, right? You know, who cares? You know, if she, you know, maybe you get a date, she gets a date, right? You know, right? Like she pays for it once you pay for it. Maybe they might argue that, you know, if she can take care of herself, is that the most important thing about whether or not you pluck down, the black card, right? You know, at the restaurant or doing this. That maybe the definition of what you're trying to do to support them, this would be the different kind of argument they would present. Is maybe it's something new, maybe it's something modern, maybe there are different kinds of gestures that you can show when you're 40, other than just doing them. I'm not saying that you can't do that, but maybe that's just not the only way of doing it. So how would you guys respond to me steel manning that to try to present another perspective that other people might out there have? Although I happen to agree with you guys' perspective, but I want to put that other one out there.
Are we talking about like on the dating topic or just generally speaking?
I mean, you can say it with that, but think it's about generally speaking, right? Like, you can include that in it, right? It can be among
no, absolutely. Yeah. I just want to make sure because I'm already thinking like other avenues where you can portray as a like positive role model is, and we should have like talked about this earlier, but mentorship, right? You can mentor someone 1,000 miles away, whatever, but as long as you make it known, like, hey, I'm accessible from this time to this time, you need anything, you know, just call me, right? I think that goes a long way as well. And, you know, to circle back, like, on this whole topic where, you know, you get one day, I get the other day, I think that is completely fine as well. And however, you know, again, there are like these toxic trolls, you know, roaming around the internet, and they're always saying like, well, yeah, I can pay for mine, you know, it should be like 50-50 or not 50-50, what have you, right? But it's still, I think there's still got to be some foundational pillars of how you should function as a man, though. I mean, Richard, what do you think?
Yeah, I did think about it in terms of dating, but you can split it. That's cool too. My wife actually did a lot of contributions during dating, now that I think about it. And I appreciate them ever more of a time because they keep showing up now, right? Like I'm at work every day, so she's still with the kids, and that's a huge amount of giving, much more than my day job asks of me. And so that theme in dating, but yeah, I got a man can contribute in dating in other ways other than paying for the first end meals. You can contribute organizing, you can show leadership and purposefulness of time together, the logistics, like how you get there and back and how she getting home safely, the thoughtfulness of all those that touches, that's very romantic. You can also do things that cater to her that are small, like, you know, some people send each other things, whatever fits her bill. So yeah, paying for the date is just a small signal of many, many to come. It is really not
exactly
the money is the least important. So women are right to emphasize that the holistic is got to be kept.
Right. I think we all can like come to an agreement here where it's like there are so many components of what defines a man. But there's also, it just equally as important that the man contributes in some way, some manner, some form, right? Like, you know, just like you said, like organizing the dates, planning things out. Hey, do we want to do this or do you want to do that? You know, it's still, and again, it's like, it's going to be an evolving topic and it will be, you know, down the road. But I think nowadays, like, it's just so imperative that, you know, if you call yourself a man, you just can't sit down and not do anything, right? Okay, like for example, like say if you're unemployed, cool, whatever happened reason, but as long as you're trying to find a job, or at least you're trying, or at least you got to like step up in other areas, right? Now you got to clean up the house, or now you got to cook, you know, that's acts of services, right? Like acts of service, like goes a long way just as well, you know, depending, and again, I don't know why I'm being so passionate about this, but it's like, you know, there's this social unwritten contract that I mentioned earlier, like, and it applies to dating as well. There got to be some types of, you know, terms and conditions that you and your partner will agree upon. And now things will change, right? Things may or may not change down the road, but it's also just to update that business plan annually, right, David? I know you mentioned that the other day.
And I'm glad both of you have said that. And this is why, because this is what I mean when I say there is a big generational shift. And if you were to ask the average, like, you know, Gen Zer, they probably have a completely different viewpoint, right? And so, like a completely different viewpoint about this, because because we're living in a society now where some people feel like they have evolved beyond, and I'm going to use the word loosely here, gender, right? And they've evolved, they've elevated themselves, right? So then gender roles, so to speak, right? And we're talking about masculinity here, all of a sudden become flexible, right? Or to some, and I'm thinking of Gen Z here, very obsolete, right? For many, right? I mean, these are some of the discussions that are going on. These are some of the things people are writing about, right? Ongoing discussing. And at the same time, while people are talking about this, you can definitely see, like, you know, groups of men struggling with this kind of, well, am I supposed to be, you know, am I supposed to have the ground rules like you said, Rich, right? Not me, but just saying, am I supposed to have the ground rules like that? Or are they supposed to adopt, you know, what is now the new idea? Like, where do they move, because they find themselves at a loss there?
They have to, I say you learn when things aren't going right. So unfortunately, I do believe in the struggle is the education. Hopefully the struggle does not consume them and turn them into horrible people. They self-destruct. Men are excellent at self-destructing, although maybe humans are excellent at self-destructing. Sorry, go ahead, Richard.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I know a good example, kind of like a little personal example, where it was this one person I know was kind of like self-destructing because he was trying to, trying to keep up with a certain lifestyle for his partner, and, you know, and it just kind of led him in the wrong path. And I'll leave it there. But, you know, there is something that's needed to be said about that. But then if you look back from, like, and, you know, from a high level view, whereas, like, as David mentioned, there has been an upwards trend where women are getting more degrees than men are now, and men are starting to fall back, and that it's like a full circle moment, you know? I think there has to be a lot of adjusting, right? A lot of adjusting. But you know what? Let me just provide this example, right? Like, when I think of masculinity, and say, for example, us three, and say we're in our mid-25s, right? We're in a big group, you know, half of girls and half of boys and whatnot. We all go out, and, you know, I think, and you know, the plan is to go to XYZ place. And I think as a masculine figure, I would hope to believe, like, there are at least the guys in that group or us would lead the group into a safe, you know, safe passageway, or making sure, like, the entire group is safe, right? I think that is still, I think, in my opinion, that's one of those pillars that cannot be changed. I think it's up to the man to keep that household safe, that group safe, or what have you. And you plan things out. Say if someone gets a little too drunk, and, you know, she's the girl, what do you do? You call an Uber for her, or what have you, or you make sure she gets home safe, or you walk her home. Like, what have you? I think that, if I'm not, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but, like, do you think that trend right there is kind of, like, losing its face value now? Like, with, you know, this whole new generational shift? Yeah? Like, that's crazy.
Well, they don't really go out anymore because it's too expensive to go out. So,
you got us.
You got us. They ain't got the money for it, right? They complained about the about tuition debt and stuff. So they got the money to really do all that kind of stuff.
But save it for someone's birthday, all right? One's someone's birthday, right?
I think they're finding more. Excuse me, events. Right, they're finding more events and things to go. Mm-hmm. You know, to go to events that there would be these days a little bit more on the safe side, like you know, like going to like a museum, you know, or going to, you know, yoga together as a group, right? Or doing things, you know, or doing other kinds of different things, right? They're doing a lot more of that, but you know, as groups together, you know, as cross-gendered groups or whatever they identify, you can include that in there, whatever gender identity they have today, right? And so I do think that element, that's the biggest element I see changing, you know, and they started with us as millennials, right? But it's more so with Gen Z. You see, that change is coming in because it's not just male and female anymore. Yeah, I'm not saying you have to agree with it. I'm just saying that's the idea, right? Now there's other things in between. And if there are other things in between, then that changes the whole landscape for you know, many people in the younger generation about, you know, about gender roles and the kind of things that we may have been brought up with. We think that are like the standard things. That's kind of all up in the air, right? These days, right? It's in flux. So, you know what I mean? You know, so that's a shift. But here's a question I wanted to ask you guys, because I see more specifically, and I've done a lot of research into this. This is something I want to delve into deeper at a later time, but just to give a little rough thing, I think that the discussion of masculinity is particularly an important discussion that is happening among men of color today, right? I see it in the Asian American, Pacific Islander community about ideas of masculinity in the West, right? I see it happening in the Black community about, what is hyper-masculine, right? What is going to, what is hyper-masculine and when does it go too far? You know, what are more safe ideas of masculinity, this sort of stuff going on. So I see that happening in the Black community, but I also see in the AAPI community among the men, you know, questions about Western masculinity, right? And whether or not people are fitting into Western masculinity. So how do you feel what do you think about this as men of color when it comes to the topic of masculinity?
Actually, to the earlier point that the other definitions of gender and sexuality might blur the qualities of masculinity, actually it doesn't really worry me, because all of these things we spoke of are just generally good human things. Like a lady should probably also try and keep her family out of harm's way too. I mean, guys should try and lead, but please, I would hope my wife would do the same thing too if I was at work and she
absolutely
was and everything else. Like it's really impervious to all the other labels. So no worries, man. These are good lessons, please. But anyone who wishes to assume these, transgender, any gender, all good. Take them, run, enjoy them. David.
Mm-hmm.
Or Richard.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, and what you both said is, like, you know, it's correct by all means. In you know, again, just like adjust that level of adjusting, it's important. But I'm just referring back to like the going out example, like, and I'm sure you two both can relate to this, you know, back in the day, like say we're at a rave group, right? I mean, if you notice, I remember when I would go to like an EDM show, massive crowd, large amounts of people there, and we're in a group. The guys would typically, like, you know, for example, we would like kind of like stay in front of the girls, you know, so they don't get pushed and shoved, you know, because there's like a bunch of other like heavy set dude, like buff guys, or you know, guys that are in, you know, you get the environment. And so like little things like that, right, is what I'm kind of like more so like alluding to, you know, just keeping sure the group is safe, right? And that kind of like ties back to our theme earlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
just quickly, but what happens when, you know, I'm not going to say what it is, but you know, when you're in that space, and then everybody separates when you're in that space. You know what I'm talking about? That happens when you get in that space. We all get separate. We go ahead.
Oh yeah,
go
then,
ahead,
yeah, Richard. Then it's different.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Richard.
Oh no! Regarding the men of color having this discussion, I am I can speak namely for Taiwanese Chinese American men discussions. That's the space I'm in the most, and I am very, very disturbed by the extreme emotions. And I absolutely empathize with it. I have been there myself in my 20s, and that's what I refer to as not being proud. It's a very disturbing set of reactions that are extreme. I don't want to label them because there's rather too many, but I think you know, like these bad reactions to extreme manhood for Asian men or Chinese and Taiwanese men. It's like fighting evil with another evil. Two wrongs don't make a right. It's like, yes, yeah, it's shitty for us. Like this emasculating deprivation and disrespect and all of the hellish things and stereotypes and tropes heaped upon us. I absolutely hate it all. I hate it forever till I'm died and the few generations past. So I don't think, however, being an asshole in return, can I say that on this thing? Is really going to solve it. Like, I think there are better tactics to fight this awful set of racial tropes and gender tropes. I'm being really general because I'm trying to cover a big arc of opinions. And I don't mean just like the, if I might say it, the MRAs, like the extreme stuff. I also mean little things like, you know, like the innocent guy who says, oh, that girl just can't get her PhD before me. No, she can't get a PhD. That's just shitty too. Like, you know, there's so many little ways you can be an awful person and or just pass on the evil. So that's my first reaction.
Yeah, I think when it comes to like Asian men in general, there's like a distinction between like men who would come from, and I will speak on like my example, like my father. I've noticed that my mom would always do all the cleaning, and we're talking about gender roles here, do all the cleaning, cooking, everything. My dad just sits there and, you know, but now that he's like semi-retired, you know, now I notice like he is stepping up a bit, like he actually doing like more cleaning around the house or what have you. I haven't seen him in a while, but I will assume so, like, right? that he is doing like, you know, he's like stepping up. But, you know, there's something to be said about that, right, Richard? Because like Asian men from the motherland would kind of just let the woman do all the house chore, you know, task. But I think we even compared to like Asian American male here, I think it's divided up. I think it's divided up. And I'm speaking from like, you know, also personal experience. Like, yeah, I help out, you know, when I'm not super busy with work, I do help out clean up the house, you know, mop the floors, what have you, or, you know, take the dog out. You know, like there is, you know, again, division of labor, you know, adjusting, keeping up with the times. Like it's all prevalent nowadays, man. Like we gotta help out our women, our queens, you know, if you will.
I don't know. I never understood this. My dad did not lift a finger, and I don't think he really contributed to my childhood, other than driving me around, which was a huge thing. So, I mean, I'm not downplaying that. And he provided fully for money, so actually I'm not downplaying him, but I do not think not doing the dishes defines masculinity. It's just like, what the hell? I'll do dishes, whatever. I don't like the dirty rats at night either, so and I don't think not vacuuming makes me more manly either, so whatever. Don't want to live like a dirty scumbag either.
Like do you want to live like a scumbag, or do you want to live like an actual normal human being at this point, right? Like what about you, David? What about you, got any examples? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I think Clubhouse is a perfect example of those rooms where the men versus women black people rooms where it's like where it's like a certain kind of I'm a man, right? You know, kind of, you know, kind of thing. And I look at, and I don't like going to those rooms, right? We have our own nicknames for them rooms, but I'm not gonna mention it now. We have nicknames for the room, but it's like look, it's a mixture of like, I'll put it like this. It's like a mixture of, because it's some educated people, and I'm not saying it's not all uneducated people, but it's a mixture of like some strange idea of what masculinity was supposed to be, right? And I feel like some Black folks, in this case, some Black men, are still holding on to something, right? It's like you can't. It's almost like, you know, that person, you made it out the hood. You gonna have to let it go. You gotta let it go, but you just can't let it go, right? And that lack of letting it go can deliver them right back into trouble, right? You know, yeah. Right? You gotta let it be able to get do it. And so I see these folks kind of holding on to a certain idea about masculinity. And most of the people that I've heard in these rooms, when I used to go in them to check them out every now and again, I'm like, you probably don't even have a pot to piss in or too much really going on in your life, but you sure talk about the man supposed to be the leader, the asshole, the woman supposed to be the such and such. And I'm just looking at that. That is just so out of date. If I was a woman, I wouldn't want to talk to your ass if you liked what you...
I'm a guy, I don't want to talk to him either. I'd be like, one of my favorite tactics in those rooms is just to sit there and listen and listen and listen. And then when they're done, I'm like, all right, are you done now? You feel better? And they're like, oh, yeah, actually, I kind of am done. I was like, all right, yeah. I'm glad you feel better, because I don't know what that was all about, but glad I could help. So
here's the real world, buddy.
It's just that I see that, because I see exactly what you guys are saying on that side. I'm like, it's like these two different sides of the masculinity. One side that is undervalued, right? You know, by Western standards, and one that has been so hyper masculinized, you know, throughout history, right? That sometimes some of the men take on that, you know, take it to the extreme. You know, sometimes I look at I'm be honest, sometimes I look at hip hop and I say, well, in many ways you perpetuate the worst elements of masculinity. Not the whole hip hop, but I get it different. But it does perpetuate the worst elements, some of it at a time, right? And because it's sold to suburban kids, and they like that. And they like that sort of, you know, the image of it. And sometimes that perpetuates that even more.
Well, I'm glad you brought up hip hop. Oh my God, and let's let this be like kind of like the last bullet point, you know, of this episode. Mm-hmm. But right, since we're all on this topic, and you both know I've been talking about this for I think like all last week. But as y'all may know, there has been like the hip hop industry or rap industry has been in a huge frenzy because there has been a quote unquote beef, you know, between the popular pop star Drake versus, you know, Future, and the music producer Metro Boomin. But most recently, well, more specifically, there was a, you know, back in the day in rap, you know, rappers would like make songs and would diss each other. And that was the culture. That was the hip hop culture back in the day. But now you fast forward today, you know, and then we don't have to get into like the heavy nitty gritty details of it, but you know, there's a song where Kendrick Lamar is on the song called Like This, and I'm sorry, Like That, yeah. He's on a song called Like That, and you know, he finally threw a diss at J. Cole and Drake, right? And now, if you guys are familiar, J. Cole and Drake and Kendrick Lamar, they're considered like the quote unquote the big three of the rap game. But now, so Kendrick issued that diss, you know, and all for all the old school heads. I mean, I'm not considering myself an old school head, but I do follow the old school traditions, right? Where it's like, okay, now I'm anticipating, you know, a diss track from J. Cole. And mind you, all in all, this is all business, fellas. This is all business, right? Like, this is what gets the people going, right? It kind of like makes this thing like low key relevant, right? So now we fast forward to, I think it was like last Friday or so, where J. Cole held his music festival, the Dreamville Festival, and he issued his response to this, and it's called like 7-Minute Drill, whatever. my opinion, I thought it was like mid. It was weak, kind of, right? And J. Cole kind of like, he was leaning towards that. He knew it was. And so what did he do? He issued a public-wide apology to Kendrick Lamar saying, hey, you know, throughout the years, my bad for, you know, throwing jabs at you, blah, blah, blah. And it's mixed, right? Nowadays, now in the hip-hop community, it's kind of mixed. There's one side where, yeah, you know, he did the absolute right thing. Why we got to tear, you know, each other down, blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, where I'm leaning on, it's like, look, you knew what you signed up for, you know, and there's a saying, like, you kind of got to, like, stand on business, you know? Like, if you're a rapper, if you're a musical artist, and your business is in, like, you know, proclaiming, like, you know, you're held in a certain standard, right? I think you got to, like you got to accept the fact that you either accept the loss, or you go about your business. But I think to kind of like double down and, you know, like kind of like posting and deleting, it's like one of those, yeah, you're like posting a tweet and deleting the tweet, you know, trying to avoid future conflict. But I think it all ties back. Was that masculine of J. Cole to apologize? You know, then that's my question for you both.
Yeah, well, my first thing is, why get into this stuff in the first place? To me, it's just, I don't think they're bad rappers, right? Or, you know, I think they're, mm-hmm. you know, bad rappers. But I'll be honest with you, when things go left, right, and things get all bad, I just did not be sitting there with any sympathy for the folks when stuff goes bad, and then next thing you know, you're up in the courtroom trying to fight off whatever. I'm just looking at them and I'm sorry, I'm just like, you reap what you sow, right? This, you know, your behavior. So, no, I mean, I think it is perfectly fine to just say, look, I'm going to end this before it really begins, right? I'm just going to stop this right now. I think that's the best thing to do, right? Stop it before it begins. You don't need to feed into the machine, right? Just for money, right? I think that's better. Yeah,
they should be professional about it. I mean, if the lyrics make you better at your game, and the beef is sharpening your steel, and it's not like awful personal snide stuff just for the hell of it, then cool, like, game on. But if it's just like odious and just like, I don't know, depraved, then I'm like, brother, it's like, please.
If it's going to cause bloodshed, I agree with you both there, right? If it's going to cause bloodshed and you prevent that, yeah, 1000% agree. However, I view this as a high school debate. You know, Team A said something.
That's how I see it. Yes.
Team B.
Yes.
Yeah, and Team B has to say something too. Team B can't just concede already, and the bout hasn't even begun. That's all. And to be clear, to add some context, it was never going to go beyond the realms of diss tracks. I can 1000% I can 1000% agree. Like, they weren't going to do anything towards each other. It wasn't like the Jay-Z and Nas beef back in the day. Like, let's be clear. So that's why.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, why don't they settle it the old school way? Because see, the old school way, the way they used to do it.
There we go. But it's toxic masculinity.
Do it the way that the backpack rappers did it. What would they do? They would get it. They would get on the stage and they would battle back and forth with each other. Right?
Yes.
They do it. That's the way you're supposed. You mentioned the debate. As soon as you said it's like a debate, that's how you settle the debate. Right. You get on stage. You make your rounds, and then you get eliminated. You get eliminated if you're not great.
I don't know why. I guess I'm from the era of toxic masculinity, but when you said how they handle it back in the old day, I'm like, are we throwing hands?
No, there's no rapping after that.
I'm like, yes.
No, but I was thinking of, like, that's what the battle rapping was, right? The battle rapping was, you get on. They get on the stage, they would diss each other. Yeah, that's what they need to do. Take it to that level, bro.
That skill. We just
came up with a solution, dude.
I think that's masculine. You show your skill.
That is
on the line. Mm-hmm. You get the courage. Mm-hmm. And if it goes well, cool. Be respectful. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't go well, give respect.
So, if it doesn't go well, you get booed off, but at least you're man enough to accept that L. And mm-hmm. that needs to be socialized more too, right? Mm-hmm. Accepting your defeat. Mm-hmm. Brothers, I am the first one to accept my defeat. I'll let you know when I lost. And I'm proud about mm-hmm. it. Because you know what? I have pride. I can stand up straight. I can walk about and do my business. I know my son will still look up to me. I know other younger brothers will look up to me still. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know?
Don't throw a bomb and run, because these diss tracks are just like throwing a bomb and running, right? Like, get on the stage and handle it like two men.
It's a lot of fun to watch. I'm very excited if they do go at it as such.
Yeah, but now there's gonna be like there's this running joke where it's like Drake is kind of like Thanos. Because Drake has beef with, like, he doesn't have beef, but 20 other rappers have beef with Drake now. And there's a whole another little drama, but it's just funny. So that's what's going on in the hip hop scene nowadays. But yeah,
it's gonna be very interesting. It's gonna be a very long battle if they ever hold it.
I know, right?
The last thing I'll say is, you remember how MC Jen knew all? He already knew every jab you were gonna take at him, right? And he took it.
Yeah.
Right, and he won. Right. See, there you go. That's mm-hmm. how you do it. Mm-hmm. Not a punch thrown, right? Not a diss record made, right?
Nope. You did it right before you said. Right then and there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, I think that was a great topic. Great topic, gentlemen. How we do it? Any closing remarks? And, you know, Richard, you got vacation. I hope you enjoy yourself, brother. But yeah, any closing remarks?
Thank you. For my fellow men out there, I will be checking up on you. That's it. David?
Yes. Like I said, I'm always checking with everybody. I know more than I say. That's what I tell people. It's better to keep it on your chest. You know, you don't tell all the business you know. I never do. So secret's safe with me. But I'll be checking in with people. I keep a tabs where people are, where they at. I think that's the thing you gotta do as men. Just keep checking in with people.
Absolutely. I concur everything. And yes, let's socialize the defeats, the losses as well. It's okay to crawl before you walk. So, you know, let's conclude on that. That will be our episode, everyone. Hope everyone has a great rest of the week, and we will be uploading more soon.
Have a great day.
Later.